This morning's first reading comes from the book of the prophet Zechariah, who is writing more or less at the turn of the 6th and 5th century BC. It was a period of time when Israel was kind of going under a time of reconstruction or reconstituting their nation. They had been in previous centuries dominated and taken over by the Assyrians, and then in the year 587 BC was the beginning of the Babylonian captivity, where the king of Babylon laid siege and laid waste to the kingdom of Israel, laid siege to Jerusalem, and even destroyed the temple. And it's in this context that Zechariah then is prophesying. And he gives a rather astonishing prophecy, given the fact that Israel is this little tiny nation which has just been dominated and overrun by various foreign powers. They are, in a sense, a kind of non-factor on any kind of geopolitical scale. Well, they're really even a non-factor, even on a regional scale. And here in this kind of a context, Zechariah makes this astonishing prophecy to say that a king will come riding on a donkey, riding on an ass. And in other places, he says that we will look upon the one whom we have pierced, who is our king and our savior. And he promises or prophesies that this king coming riding on a donkey is the one who is going to usher in an era of universal peace, and that his kingdom will be running from sea to sea, or ultimately to the ends of the earth. It really is an astonishing prophecy given the context of which he is writing. But also in the prophecy of Zechariah, we can see a kind of reorientation of the scales of what true power are going to mean. He's not going to be coming in on triumph, on tanks, or in all sorts of military weapons of war leading to domination and oppression of others, but rather he's going to come to us in a humble fashion, and he's going to come offering a true interior peace to all those who are a part of his reign. Significantly, it wasn't going to be for another 500 years that Jesus would inevitably and eventually come. And even during those 500 years, Israel again underwent times of suppression and oppression, taken over by the Greeks and then eventually subdued by the Roman Empire as well. And so in this context too, then, we can understand what St. Paul is talking about in his letter to the Romans, in terms of speaking and exhorting his listeners who are living in Rome, the capital of the great and mighty Roman Empire in that first century AD. And he's exhorting them to live by the Spirit of God as opposed to the flesh. In other words, Paul too is reorienting their motivation and their goals in life to say, to live by the flesh ultimately is going to be to die by the flesh. And living by the flesh is exhibited by people who think that their happiness is going to come from greater material possessions in this world, from the pursuit of worldly power, being able to exert control or dominance over other people, from the pursuit of pleasure, from a path of selfishness and egoism, of trying to see ourselves in a place of glory and honor. All of this is what constitutes living by the flesh, and Paul points out this is a futile path that is never going to lead toward happiness and success in life. And rather, he says, live by the Spirit of God, live by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is really the manifestation and the revelation of the love of God, such that Jesus becomes that one pierced on the cross, the humble one who rode into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and who gives himself completely to us out of love. And this is the dichotomy between the life of the Spirit and the life and the pursuits of the flesh. Today's gospel then continues in the same vein and along the same theme. And in the first place, it points out again the differences between these two choices. And it says that those who are wise and learned in the ways of the world, they are precisely the ones who are going to be chasing after political power, who are chasing after control, who are chasing after these things of the flesh. And it's going to be the humble ones or the little ones who recognize that the secret in life is to live by the Spirit of God, to make love the central focus of our life, and to realize that in Jesus, in that revelation of the love of God that comes to us in Jesus Christ, we find the secret of how to live well, of how to find peace and security in this life, but not a material peace and security, but one that resides deep within our heart and which also points toward the life that is to come, which fills us with hope that allows us then also to face the turmoils of this world and to say in security and serenity, I know I was not created merely for this earthly world, but I'm made for God, and Jesus is the one who is awaiting me at the end of my life. And this is the dichotomy between the ways of the world and the ways of the little ones, those who are humble. Finally, in today's gospel, Jesus talks about taking his yoke upon us, and that in his yoke we will find rest, we will find peace. As you may know, a yoke was a kind of wooden beam that was tied between two oxes and sort of harnessed over their heads. And it was designed precisely to carry the load which was behind them. And it could be a load which was quite significant. And the message in the context of today's liturgy is, whatever path of life we pursue in our quest for happiness and fulfillment in life, whether it's the ways of the flesh or the ways of Jesus, it is in a sense taking a yoke upon ourselves. In other words, we make a decision to pair ourselves with a way of life, and that way of life carries with it a burden, and it carries with it a weight, and it carries with it consequences. And the yoke which follows upon the fleshly pursuits of material things, of pleasurable experiences as our means for happiness, of worldly honor or political power as our pursuit for happiness, that ultimately is going to lead to a yoke which is going to crush and subdue and ultimately stymie the person from finding happiness. Whereas the yoke of Jesus, which is a yoke because you take upon yourself the path of discipleship, of following his way of love, it is something that we carry, but we carry it side by side with the Lord who journeys with us. And in that yoke, because it's what we were created for, this very love of God, in living that love, we then find peace, we find the rest of Jesus awaiting for us. So my brothers and sisters, as we go forward on this 14th Sunday of Ordinary Time, let us ask God for the grace that we would always reject the temptations of the flesh, to chase after political powers or dominations or control or different aspects of material wealth as our source of happiness or pleasurable experiences for our source of happiness. And let us remember that we were created for this love of God, the love that was manifested in Jesus on the cross, the one who was pierced, who came to usher in this reign of peace from sea to sea, and the reign that we in the church are called to share in and to participate in and to truly experience this peace of Jesus Christ. I suppose for us one way to really test which path we're on is precisely to look inwardly and to say, do I have a kind of peace and contentment in my life that comes with living with Jesus? Or do I find myself constantly having to chase after the next thing, of constantly looking for more, of constantly desiring something else? Because that typically is a sign of taking upon ourselves a yoke of the flesh, which is a pursuit that will never ultimately end in rest or contentment. So we ask the Lord for the grace that we would always take his yoke upon ourselves, that we would live in his peace, and that we would live in his love. Amen.